Thanks, Matt, and welcome back, everybody. The United Way of Central Maryland has released a report on poverty in Maryland. They took a close look at what's called the ALICE population. ALICE, that's an acronym for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. In other words, what many people call the working poor. The findings in the report point to the tremendous problems that many Maryland families face in meeting their most basic needs. Maryland, like many other states, has seen a dramatic economic recovery since the recession of 10 years ago, but that recovery has been uneven. Franklin Baker is the president and CEO of the United Way of Central Maryland. He joins me now in Studio A. We are broadcasting or streaming our conversation on the Facebook page at WYPR. You can also give us a call at 410-662-8780. You can drop us an email midday@wypr.org. You can send us a tweet at @midday WYPR. Mr. Baker, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Tom.
So when we talk about 38% of folks can't afford basic needs, what do you define as basic needs?
Well, as you stated so correctly, ALICE is an important measure of assessing income for individuals that work very hard every single day, but they don't have enough money to make basic ends meet. And as you stated correctly, it is asset limited, income constrained, employed. And we consider basic as seven basic household necessities that include housing, of course, child care, food, transportation, health care, taxes, and yes, a smartphone.
A smartphone, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, access to the internet is one of those things. A lot of folks, I've heard sort of people of affluence often complaining, saying, okay, if this person is so poor, why does she have cable television and a cell phone? Why is it important to have a cell phone?
So if a worker is running late for an hourly shift, they need to be able to call from Uber, from a taxi, from a bus to let their employer know they'll be 15 minutes late. So they also may need to navigate this idea of weather and if there's going to be complications. And so it's really great to have something like a smartphone to stay current.
We have a growing economy over the last several years for many people, but as we said, it's unevenly distributed. These folks are dealing with low wages, reduced work hours in many instances, and their savings are going down because the costs are going up. What is the road out of this? I mean, how do the ALICE population, as you've defined it, what are the means that they would have to get out of that category?
Well, let me just, before I share that, Tom, let me share. These are individuals that are working one or two or even more jobs every single day, and they're people we run into every day. So these are people who are waitstaff laborers, they're clerks and cashiers, they're receptionists, they're bus drivers, admin staff in companies, they're security guards. And so our job here at United Way and working with lots and lots of partners and stakeholders is to really sort of work through this project to provide framework and language and tools to really measure and understand the struggles of the growing number of these ALICE households that are resident in our communities. And so we want to work also with policymakers, legislators, companies to figure out what can we specifically do to increase their assets, but also limit the barriers for these individuals? And so they are a part of us, as you said earlier, 38% of the workers. That's 38% of the workers in the state, right, are people who are fitting this description. So these are not just the people who fall below the federal poverty level. These are people who literally have jobs. And we can talk about what the numbers look like for a typical family.
Yeah, I do want to do that in a second. But I also want to mention that 22% more people are in households who can't afford things now or in 2016 than were in 2010. But that was exactly the period where the economy was growing, where things were getting better. The unemployment rate was going down. I mean, that just seems like those two facts sitting on either side of the spectrum just don't seem like they should be happening at the same time.
Right, because as we've often heard, there's this growing number of jobs available, but the skill sets, the training needed is not matching up with the demand, right, for companies who need X number of workers, but they don't necessarily have the ability to recruit individuals who have the skill sets that are requisite to meet the demand of that particular job. So that is a very, very challenging dynamic, Tom, for us, is how do we figure out providing the soft skills as well as the hard skills for this universe of people who are clamoring for employment at a higher level, but those available opportunities are not always there.
Yeah, 50% of the jobs that Marylanders hold pay less than $20 an hour. If you make $15 an hour, which is a minimum wage that we haven't actually achieved on a federal or state level, you work 35 hours a week, you'd make $27,300 a year. So talk about the connection between this ALIS population and then what the federal government defines as living in poverty.
Yes. So for the federal government, for a family of four, right, let's take two adults, a preschooler and infant in their home. The federal government says the poverty level is $24,000, basically. For this ALIS report, we're essentially saying it's $69,000 for that family to be under the ALIS threshold. So just think about that for a moment.
So it's three times as much.
It is a huge shift. And even the $69,000, if people are honest with themselves, is not quite enough to really put away money for a rainy day fund, to really do some damage in the space of insurance protection and other things that we take for granted, like quality childcare, right? Or FDA-approved meals or clothing that is worthwhile. And so this $69,000 for this typical family of four is only the basics. In this report, it talks about we want to work to provide the supports to this family so they can get to a place where they have a sustainability budget, which is basically twice the $69,000 for this survival budget. So how do we get together with these cluster of people in our community to provide the supports, the subsidies, the credits, to make opportunities available, to reduce the barriers that they're facing and increase their assets?
You know, if data is a driver of public policy, I wonder, given what you've just told us, right, are we using the wrong metrics? Are we using the wrong figures? Are we forming public policy based on unrealistic notions of what it means to be poor and what it means to succeed?
This is one of the reasons why one of the United Ways in our system, United Way of Northern New Jersey, started this really very, very positive focus on how do we compare and contrast the federal poverty level with the reality on the ground. This was started back in 2013. And now our report, ALIS, is in 18 states, including the District of Columbia. And we're really looking over the next couple of years to have this throughout the country and to really get to a place where working poor is replaced by ALIS. It puts a name to this, it personalizes it, and it's a greater measure, more effective measure of what it means to actually have a difficult situation. And in some cases, you don't actually remain eligible for some of the benefits. So we have examples of individuals in Central Maryland who have started at $35,000 per year in annual income. They get a promotion and they move to, say, $42,000. And now all of a sudden they run into what is known as a benefits cliff. So they're no longer eligible, right, for some things that they were taking for granted they were eligible for just because they earned $7,000 or $10,000 more on their paycheck. So what can we do in this space of benefits cliffs management, right? That's something United Way is trying to work with University of Baltimore. We're working on a report now that will actually subsidize this very effective ALIS report as well.
And, of course, there is a racial dimension to this. African Americans are employed in lower wage industries, mm-hmm. generally speaking. So they have an even more difficult barrier to overcome. Are there ways of addressing that in terms of public policy? And I got to give you about 20 seconds to finish up here.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that we are really focused on is the Earned Income Tax Credit and the Child Tax Credit. So these two pieces of legislation, the child subsidy just passed in the legislature this past cycle, we're trying to figure out how do we get those individuals who are more prone to have greater need for support to wrap around them additional supports, whether it's in child care, that's quality. We're talking to companies around if they're having plans to provide support for housing that's affordable near the actual work site, to talk to companies, architects, and other investors that really could really subsidize the needs in the community.
And again, folks got to remember, these are folks who are working. These are not
working.
Unemployed people. They
that's
are
correct.
Working and
that's
making
correct.
It and finding it really difficult to get by. Well, I appreciate it, Franklin Baker, for coming by and explaining what's going on in this very important report.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Franklin Baker, President and CEO of the United Way of Central Maryland. We'll have a link to a copy of the Alice Report on our website, wypr.org/midday. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, a conversation with the former copy chief for the news website BuzzFeed about a terrific book that she's written about language and grammar in this time of tweets and texts. Her name is Emmy Favilla, and the book is called A World Without Whom, The Essential Guide to Language in the BuzzFeed Age. If you're a reader and a lover of language, you'll want to hear what Emmy has to say tomorrow on Midday. We want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends. You can find them on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Hearing Now is up after a break for the news at the top of the hour. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.